Good morning, everybody, and welcome into That Movie Show here on North Shore 104.9, presented by Showcase Cinemas. Mike Wendt and Eddie McCabe here to take you through another week of movies. Eddie, how you doing?
Oh, I am doing great. It's a great week for movies.
It is. We just wrapped up Halloween week, which, of course, here on the North Shore means that Salem can exhale.
Some people, because it was actually really rainy, got bonus spoopy days. Yeah, they got bonus spooky days because a lot of places in the area, because it was all rainy and everything, postponed trick-or-treating and are actually going to be trick-or-treating tonight.
I don't know if we talked about it. No, we might not have last week, but I had a family wedding last week in Beverly, and on Thursday, it was the rehearsal at the church right in downtown Beverly. Yep. And they did something I had no idea that towns did, which was basically shut down the downtown area so kids could trick-or-treat the businesses.
Okay, the yeah, they do that in the North End.
Halloween.
Yeah, they do that in the North End, too. You can go around.
I never knew happened.
Yeah, they do it like after school on like a Thursday before, or maybe even a Friday before.
But it was literally a week before, because Halloween was on a Thursday.
Right. Yeah, yeah. It was a cool thing. It's definitely cool when the businesses... Well, it's when the if in the North
End. It's a pain in the ass to me.
Yeah, well, you know, in the North End, it was a cool thing, especially because, you know, if you're a kid living in the North End, you don't necessarily get the type of Halloween experience that like a suburban kid would get, you know.
Sure, but this was Beverly.
Sure, they get to do both. They're rich kids. It's
okay. Oh, I see. Okay, so you're on their side.
Yeah, I'm from.
We're fighting. You're on their side. I got
I'm.
You.
I'm from Newton. Of course I'm on their side.
Of course you are. I'm from Linfield, and I don't know what these business trick-or-treatings are. We literally only have residentials.
Look, last week I was going to an amazing ramen shop in Newton Center called Little Big Diner, and I was inconvenienced because the spooky tradition is all of the villages of Newton have kids paint like spooky paintings on the wall, on the windows of the businesses. And I was inconvenienced because
that's
there was
just called vandalism.
Yeah. You know, I do it. I get written.
Radio Raheem died for that.
I do it when I'm a kid and I get written up in a gang file.
Oh, man. This has nothing to do with movies, by the way.
No.
Not even a little bit. But we have...
We're talking about bonus spooky days.
Bonus spooky days. So we have a bonus spooky day here with you because we're wrapping up Halloween season in the only way you would on a North Shore station, and that would be with Hocus Pocus.
Yeah, the Walt Disney classic.
All right. Well, pump your brakes there with classic. We're going to do Hocus Pocus today, and we did it a couple weeks ago with Monster Squad, where we just kind of, we did basically a radio version of what we do on the podcast over at thatmovieshow.net. You can find That Movie Show on all podcasting apps. We have been deep diving into movies, good, bad, and horrific, for over a year now. And it's been a lot of fun, and we suggest you subscribe and join in the fun with us. So this is another taste, if you will, of what we do over there, where we're just going to kind of deep dive into Hocus Pocus. But since we are on North Shore 104.9, since we are presented by Showcase Cinema, since we are That Movie Show, let's do recommendations right out of the gate. Eddie, what do you got?
So I will be going to Kevin Smith's Live on Stage as he is doing the tour that he does with his movies nowadays.
Jay and Silent Bob Reboot Roadshow.
Yeah, the Jay and Silent Bob. Yep, the Jay and Silent Bob Reboot Roadshow with Jason Mewes and Kevin Smith at the Wilbur Theater. And I will be going to that one on Friday. So in honor of that, I would like to recommend Dogma, the Kevin Smith classic that also stars Jay and Silent Bob. And it's a very fun movie.
And God.
Yeah, God's in it. Jason Mewes is in it.
In the form of Alanis Morissette.
Chris Rock is in it. And local boys Matt Damon and Ben Affleck.
Oh, yeah. You know, local talent. They made something or enough of themselves. They did a little bit.
Yeah. So going to that, you know, so next week, you know, we'll have like a little bitty mini review, I guess, at some point on thatmovieshow.net. So pay attention to that, because I will be seeing that movie and then talking about the experience that was
Jay and Silent Bob Reboot Roadshow.
Yeah, with Jason Mewes and Kevin Smith.
I'm actually looking forward to it, because it's released by I believe it's called Sabin Films, S-A-B-I-N Films, same company that did Three from Hell, and they're doing it the same way, where they did like a 1 or 2 day Fathom Events release in theaters, and then like, I mean, Kevin Smith is doing a roadshow thing. Rob Zombie didn't do that, but then it's like immediately getting dropped right onto on demand and Blu-ray and all that stuff.
Right.
So I believe the Blu-ray date for Jay and Silent Bob is going to be like December 10th or something.
Something like that. Yeah.
So it's an interesting new way that these, for lack of a better term, lower budget films are getting released.
Well, because there is that middle ground, and I agree. I think that, you know, Three from Hell and this Jay and Silent Bob movie both would do terrible in a wide release, but deserve more than a straight to DVD, you know? So
it's also the profits up, because if the budget stays down and the release isn't huge, and they don't have to throw everything at marketing, because marketing can cost a ton of money.
Right. When I say terrible at a wide release, that's exactly what I mean. Yeah.
Return on investment.
The return on investment would be terrible if you're releasing Three from Hell in October on, you know, 10,000 screens.
Right.
You know what I mean? You're not going to make that return on investment just isn't going to be there. But you know that there is a ravenous fan base that will get this on demand, right? Like, there is a horror movie audience for this. Well, you definitely know, same way with a Jay and Silent Bob audience. You know, yeah, maybe Jay and Silent Bob in 2019 isn't necessarily going to be a blockbuster, but it's going to sell out the Wilbur. Definitely. You know, it's going to sell out the Wilbur, and everybody in there is likely going to probably buy it as well. So, right. You know, it's a great way to get a big pomp and circumstance release without having to necessarily break the bank in terms of like a marketing budget and all those traditional film things that cost a lot of money.
Television buys are expensive.
Yeah, right.
So if you had a commercial play, I mean, people, it's something that the general audience takes for granted, but it's gonna go right into my recommendation. But like a week ago, we talked about the Star Wars trailer,
right?
Just putting that, like, I think it was probably 2 minutes tops. Well, yeah. Trailer on Monday Night Football was multiple millions of dollars for Disney.
Yeah, for it to be the halftime,
just that 2 minutes.
Yeah,
not every commercial break that you've seen Rise of Skywalker on, but just that 2 minutes probably cost them multiple millions of dollars. Even though they own the company, it's still a different.
Well, times. I mean, there is that. But having the announcers at every break be like, hey, tune in at halftime because we're going to have the Rise of Skywalker. Yeah, that costs money, man.
Right.
You know, because, yeah, it's all technically Disney, but... Yeah.
But it's different. Lucas, everybody's going to get paid.
Lucasfilm did have to pay ESPN for that.
True.
You know?
Absolutely true. Which, as I said, bleeds into my recommendation. I actually just rewatched it last night. And I don't know why I rewatched it. I was more watching
curiosity.
Other movies. Well, I was just watching horror movies and stuff. And
yeah, no, you're just hyped for The Mandalorian.
I think that might be because I did watch the Mandalorian trailer earlier in the day. And I think it was one of those things that's like, I just need some Star Wars in my life. Yeah. And I rewatched The Last Jedi, Episode 8.
Yep.
Which in recent time has been heralded as the worst Star Wars.
It's not. Episode 2 is still a thing.
Exactly. Thank you. And I feel that this movie is extremely underrated and extremely misunderstood. Yep. If you just sit and watch it and take your, you know, rose-colored glasses and take your blinders off and all that stuff and just watch it and enjoy yourself for about 2 hours and change, it has its flaws. I'm not saying it's perfect.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's perfect. There's a lot of that whole, like, I enjoyed parts of the casino thing. I enjoyed the world building of that part of it. There were parts of that I also did not like.
Yeah. There's just one, as like a Star Wars fan, there's one really glaring issue that I have with that movie. It is the fact that this is episode 9, right? Yeah. So nine regular movies, a countless spin-off books and video games and all sorts of things like that. And intergalactic space fuel has never been a thing. The hyperdrive has always malfunctioned. The reason we couldn't get from point A to point B is because, you know, it's because the hyperdrive's broken. It's never been because we didn't stop it, you know, intergalactic mobile, you know?
That was Spaceballs.
Yeah, that was Spaceballs, not this. So for that to be such a crucial plot point was really, really frustrating. It's kind of the same plot as the first couple of episodes of Battlestar Galactica reboot, where it's like, oh, we have just enough fuel to stay just far away from the bad guys.
But they didn't.
You know,
the second the bad guys realized what they were doing, it's like, oh, shoot those things. Boom, 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 bye bye, Akbar. Boom.
Yeah, right.
Nevertheless, it has its flaws. But ultimately, like, I enjoyed the couple hours I spent with Last Jedi last night.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like episode 2, it's like, oh,
it's
really, really, like, we're going to talk about it in a minute because Showcase Cinemas is actually doing a marathon at their Showcase Cinemas Deluxe and Legacy Place in Dedham. It's going to be all 9 episodic Star Wars movies, starting with episode 1 at 7:05 and ending the next day at 5 p.m., starting with The Rise of Skywalker. It's going to be awesome, first and foremost. It's going to be on December 18th. It's going to start on Wednesday night, December 18th, and go until the next day when the early premiere of Rise of Skywalker happens. I did this when Force Awakens came out. I did the marathon from 1 to 7.
There was so much Chinese food,
which isn't going to happen in this one because Showcase is good about their refreshments, and they're going to have a whole deal. They got they're going to have cleanup stations, much like with the Marvel thing.
Yep.
They got Jedi yoga, so they can take breaks and stretch it out. There's going to be like a cantina meal breaks. You're going to have phone chargers. You're going to have all kinds of good stuff. Showcase takes care of you during these marathons.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm going to be there. I hope you would be there as well, Eddie.
I absolutely love Star Wars.
A definite maybe.
I absolutely love Star Wars. It's fantastic. You know, like you said, you know, people had issues with it. I just talked about my issues with episode 8, but I'm so, so excited for this movie. You know, I'm excited to see where we go for episode 9. You know, the thing that I liked was we went in a different direction, and I'm excited to see where we go from the end of 8 into 9.
Right.
You know, hopefully the internet didn't get to them too much and they don't just like, you know, retcon everything in the first 5 minutes, you know. Yeah. So,
well, you can find out by going to showcasecinemas.com and grabbing your tickets for the Star Wars Marathon. It's happening at Showcase Cinemas Deluxe at Legacy Place in Dedham. It's the only theater in New England doing this marathon. So go to showcasecinemas.com and grab your tickets. It's December 18th. You get an early screening of Rise of Skywalker and all the other 8 movies as well. It's going to be a fun time. I'm absolutely going to be there. It's going to be a hoot.
It'll be an intergalactic hoot nanny.
Intergalactic hoot a nanny. Okay, so let's jump into Hocus Pocus because we're wrapping up Halloween season. We're here on the North Shore. This movie took place in Salem, so let's do it. Hocus Pocus was released on July 16th, 1993 by the Disney Company. It had a budget of $28 million. It had a box office of 39.5, and while it did make money back, it only came in at number 4 at the box office. More of a cult classic than an actual classic.
Yeah.
It was directed by Kenny Ortega. It starred Bette Midler, Sarah Jessica Parker, Kathleen Ajimi, and Thora Birch was the only child that came out of this movie alive.
I guess. No, that is not true.
Really? Who else?
Thackeray Binks is on NCIS.
All right. Well, that doesn't count.
that doesn't count
because they didn't call him Zachary. Okay. Welcome to that movie show right here on North Shore 104.9, presented by Showcase. And it's because my biggest problem with this movie is his name, Thackeray. It sounds like someone with a lisp saying Zachary, and yes, it annoys me. I hate it. Zachary. Just call him Zachary Binks. Thackeray. Really? All right, Cindy Brady, why don't you get your cat some
Oh, you're that mad about it.
Every time. I get so heated on these reviews. Every time. But seriously, Thackeray? Really?
Yeah. Thackeray.
All right, I'm going to cool down because you like this movie a whole hell of a lot better than I do. So I'm going to let you take the reins for a minute.
Yeah, so this movie is very much prime, like, cult childhood nostalgia feels. This is where it didn't make a lot in the terms of the box office, but by the time my, like, age group got around to it on the ABC Family and you know, whatever they were calling it at the Freeform at the time, yep, you know, we've definitely – this is our Halloween movie, you know, like some people have Monster Squad, you know, some people have Hocus Pocus, and then the generation kind of after me is Halloween Town. Right. And this holds a special place in my heart. It's fun. It's just very, very fun, spooky, like wholesome fun in a,
you know, I was talking to somebody earlier today. It's basically like the Halloween version of A Christmas Story.
Right. That's perfect.
Because Disney does show it all day on Freeform. Like, not just all day, all month.
Somebody listed off a bunch of the movies that they play on Freeform. Like, Disney plays on Freeform, which is their, like, 31 days of Halloween. Like, yep, that's their whole thing. And they're like, they're the Hallmark Channel of Halloween. That's what you know what I mean? That's what it is.
Pretty much.
You know, but you're absolutely right. I think that's an accurate statement. Is this movie is it is a Christmas story, but for Halloween. Because it's better than Nightmare Before Christmas. Which I don't know. Some people say that's a Christmas movie, some people say that it's a Halloween movie. I don't know. This is just a better movie.
I mean, I don't know what category a Nightmare Before Christmas falls into. I don't know if I could double down on you saying that it's a better movie.
Yeah.
This movie's,
I also want you to,
it's I mean, it's fun, but it's not a good movie. It's just not. It's weird. It's really weird. There's a lot of, like, awkward sexual stuff throughout the movie.
Yeah,
for a Disney movie, for a Walt Disney picture, that bus driver is the weirdest guy. And I highly suggest you follow us to our website, thatmovieshow.net, because I have some thoughts that cannot be expressed right now.
But in a more wholesome sense, did you catch the cameo by a very famous location?
I caught the cameo from Gary and Penny Marshall, and that was weird as hell.
It was. There is a very famous location cameo in this movie.
The Friends Fountain?
It is the Friends Fountain. The Friends Fountain, yeah. Yeah, after the Sanderson sisters, they lock him in the, like, the kiln and set him on fire, and they're, like, celebrating out in front of the high school. They're in front of a fountain, and that fountain is the same fountain that is in the beginning of Friends.
Who knew that Friends was filmed in Salem?
Yeah, who knew? Who knew? They were Friends of Salem.
Who knew Friends was filmed in Salem? I thought it was New York, but really it was an LA soundstage.
Yeah, it was an LA soundstage on Warner Brothers that you can visit the set.
I mean, I don't know, man. Like, there's a lot to dig into with this movie. I mean, all of a sudden, I'm just going to call him Zachary Binks because I'm not going to play into that Thackeray stuff.
I mean, sure.
He starts talking after, like, 15 minutes into the movie that was just not even explained.
Yeah, they turned him into a cat.
He turned him into a cat, and he couldn't communicate because there was town folk. This happened in Salem on Halloween, October 31st, 1693. Yep. They turned Thackeray Binks and his sister Emily, well, they killed Emily, and turned him into a cat. And he couldn't communicate to the townsfolk that, hey, I'm a human boy.
Yes.
But all of a sudden, we fast forward to current day, 1993, and he's just like, hey, bro.
Yeah.
I'm a cat. Get over it.
Yeah.
Why did it take him all this time?
Because he had to relearn how to talk because he was an immortal. He was an immortal cat.
No. That would make sense even if they explained it that way. But that's not it. Because I actually know the explanation for why.
Oh, what's the explanation?
Because the explanation was he couldn't talk until a virgin lit that candle. But that was never explained.
I don't know. Okay.
It was there. Also, the emphasis on this 13-year-old boy being a virgin was really weird. It's like he's 13 and rides a bicycle. Yes, of course he hasn't had sex yet.
This is
why is everyone so surprised by that? Like, you're a virgin? Yes, I am. Sorry, bro. I just haven't, gotten down with the ladies yet.
Yeah, this is the same thing. This movie and in Monster Squad, we ran into the same thing where it's just like,
at least in Monster Squad, they were horny teens. This guy is just like,
middle schoolers.
Still, though, I had more, problem with them smoking and just freely drinking in Monster Squad than I do, like, that the fake cop and his busty girl making fun of this 13-year-old boy because he hadn't had sex yet. It's like, it's weird.
Yeah,
it's weird. He's a child. Why are you even having this conversation with a child? Disney movie?
Yes.
It's not even like Blumhouse was putting this out. It's Disney. Blumhouse. This isn't the makers of Paranormal Activity. This is the makers of Mickey Mouse.
Blumhouse presents Hocus Pocus. That's a good one. That'd be pretty fun. I'd watch it.
The funniest part is they're actually doing a sequel.
Yeah, it's an exclusive to Disney Plus, so expect that out next year.
No word yet on whether the original cast is going to make appearances. Based off of interviews, I would assume they would, because not only Bette Midler, but also Kathy Najimy have both said that this is their favorite working experience on a film set.
Yeah, right. Everything about it is really fun. This seems to be, at least, even if it was just like a normal movie,
But it is the thing. Okay, I'm again, follow us over to thatmovieshow.net for the full deep dive into Hocus Pocus, and I'm gonna eviscerate this movie. But I will say this: the three lead actresses, Sarah Jessica Parker, Bette Midler, Kathy Najimy. They went for it. They were really going for it. They did a hell of a job at their jobs.
Correct.
Like, they crushed it, but it's just, you can only work with the clay you're given.
Yeah, at the end of the day, at the end of the day, this is a kid's movie, so it does have a little bit of a ceiling.
Is it?
Yeah. I mean,
based off of what we just talked about, is it?
Yeah,
that bus driver again. Go to thatmovieshow.net. We're gonna have some thoughts on the bus driver that we can't talk about right here on the radio.
And the marshals.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's just like they show up trick or treating to an Eyes Wide Shut party.
Oh, yeah,
what's happening?
And they dressed up their child in a busty outfit.
And then they spent, like, instead of just being like, okay, we're going to take candy and leave, they spent a good 2.5 minutes talking about the bustiness of their child.
Yeah, it's true.
It happened.
It's very interesting. I do think that even though the 90s, it was a thing. It was a thing. We were different in the 90s,
year 1993.
Yeah. 1993.
People lived underwater and watched adult-themed children's movies.
So adult-themed.
Yeah. But I think that that's part of why. I mean, it wasn't...
The bullies were terrible.
Oh, the bullies were so terrible.
Can we talk about that for a second? I mean, we got about 5 minutes left. Let's do a quick Showcase plug before we have to wrap this up. Showcase Cinemas is the proud sponsor of That Movie Show here on North Shore 104.9. Go to showcasecinemas.com and sign up for Showcase Subscribe. You can see more movies a month with plans starting as low as $11.95. There are no blackout dates. You can get advanced tickets. You can get tickets for Terminator Dark Fate, Doctor Sleep, Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker. So many tickets, and you can get group plans as well. You can gift plans as well. So instead of going and getting a gift certificate, just go to showcasecinemas.com and get your loved ones a subscription to Showcase Subscribe. Showcase Cinemas, proud sponsor of That Movie Show right here on North Shore 104.9. We got about 4 minutes left here, Eddie. So let's, before we jump over to thatmovieshow.net and continue our hocus pocus talk, yeah, the bullies were awful.
The funniest thing was them making fun of the kid. Them making fun of the kid from California when they couldn't have sounded more from California.
I mean, he really was. The blonde-haired kid was straight up from California.
Yeah, it was really funny.
Surfer Gets, calling the kid because he's a tie-dye t-shirt, man. You must be Hollywood.
Yeah, you're from California. You must be Hollywood. When you're the... You're the most Boston guy from Hollywood ever.
And Ice?
Yeah, Ice.
Ice?
Yeah, Ice. He's tough.
Nevertheless, it doesn't matter what region of the country these bullies were from. Really? These are your street toughs.
These are your North Shore street toughs.
These are your street toughs from Salem.
Yeah,
I've been to Salem. These aren't the street toughs.
No, they are not. They are not
the Ice street toughs. Ice would get his hind whipped.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They would have shaved the blonde one. They would have shaved him.
They would have turned the blonde one into ice.
Yeah, they would have. That's but exactly.
They took his shoes.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like they lit. Okay, so I'm assuming. I'm trying to put myself back in 1993 for a moment here in the writer's shoes. They definitely read an article because I remember around the time that those popular basketball shoes were around. If you went into the urban cities,
the people Jordans were
stealing shoes. Yeah. I guarantee you they read an article and just put it into the movie. The problem is they put it on these two.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
these two who were trying to jack kids for their Reese's.
Yeah, they were. They were just.
What do you got for candy, little girl? It's like, really, pal?
Yeah.
This is what you're doing. You're stealing Air Jordans off of Hollywood tie dye over here, and then jacking his little sister for a Snickers.
Yeah, right. And it's like you're literally in the middle of the street with all of the parents. Nonsense. Like, at some point.
They grabbed a pumpkin off of a step in front of a person who owned the house, ran and smashed it in the street. I'm just like, I need some realism in my fiction.
Somebody needs
an adult. My movie based on Disney witches.
Yeah, right.
With Gary Marshall and Penny Marshall playing husband and wife, I need some realism.
Yeah, of course. Of course. So let's get on over to thatmovieshow.net and let's really dive into this.
Please follow us over to thatmovieshow.net for the continuation of our Hocus Pocus review, where we can deep dive into the bus driver. And also follow us on social media at Mike Wendt, at the Eddie McCabe, hashtag That Movie Show. Let us know if you want us to review a show right here on the radio show, North Shore 104.9, presented by Showcase Cinemas. Eddie, I'll see you over on the website.
Okay.
And welcome in to That Movie Show. Welcome in for those of you joining us from the radio show on North Shore 104.9, presented by Showcase Cinemas. Welcome. It's going to get a bit dirty. And welcome to those of you who have been listening through the whole podcast. Now we can actually talk about That rapey ass bus driver.
Oh, man.
He wanted to fuck Sarah Jessica Parker so bad. I mean, they were she was literally on his lap riding the bus like this. And I'm just this is a Disney movie, dude. Like PG-rated Disney movie. And he's literally like, hey, you hot whores, come into my bus and I'll drive you anywhere. And you get on my lap and ride my bone stick all the way to fuck town.
Yeah, well.
Am I wrong?
No, you're 100% right. it is the only time that anybody has wanted to do that to Bette Midler.
Bette Midler, yes.
And...
She looked pretty good in Get Shorty. I'm just gonna throw it out there.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
She cleaned up okay when she was trying to fuck Gene Hackman in Get Shorty. Catherine and Jimmy, 100%. The only time anybody's ever said that to her.
Yeah, maybe.
Sarah Jessica Parker, L.A. Story. She looked pretty fucking good.
Yeah, well, the thing with Sarah Jessica Parker is that it's hit or miss because this is one of her.
When she started that TV show with the word sex in it, she hit the fucking wall.
Yes, you're 100% right.
She was an attractive young woman.
Yeah, and she's fantastic in this. This is her best role.
I mean, like we said on the last half hour, the three leads went for it hard. Yeah. And I mean, they were giving it their all. Bette Midler, I think this is probably her 14th movie since Disney opened up Hollywood Studios or MGM Studios. You know, she kind of signed a weird contract where she literally had to do every Disney movie ever. Starting with that one with she was playing twins with Lily Tomlin. Big Business, was it?
Yeah, something like that. And that was
literally filmed on the Disney MGM lot in Florida.
That was like the hope. That they were going to have the like all the movies filmed on the lot. And basically we got that
movie Tower of Terror.
Yeah, we got that, the Gutenberg movie Tower of Terror, and WCW Nitro. Oh, and that whatever that Hulk Hogan show was.
What was it? What the fuck was it? Tropic Thunder? Was it Tropic Thunder?
No, that's the movie with Robert Downey Jr.
It's not that one. It's definitely not Trouble in Paradise. What was it? Thunder in Paradise.
God damn,
that show sucks.
Thunder Lips Paradise.
Starring Terry Hulk Bollea Hogan.
Yeah, one of these days we are absolutely, or one of these months, we're just going to pick, maybe it'll be January, but we're just going to do all Hulk Hogan movies.
Oh, we have to do a Hogan month.
Yeah.
Have to. You know what? We might even go visit Bill in Florida and do it live from Hogan's Beach Shop in fucking Tampa, Florida, brother.
look, here's the thing. If we don't release any of the episodes, there's a chance that we could get Hogan on the show.
Before releasing the episodes?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look.
We record all of them, and then we interview Hogan. And then release the whole fucking lot of them. One big DVD box set. Here's a shit sandwich for you. Thank you, Spinal Tap.
there's no way. There's no way I'm going to be able to make it through like Ultra Freedom Force 4 of Hulk. Because that's the one we're doing. You know what I mean?
Lips in Paradise Volume 4. What the fuck were those shows called?
I'm looking it up. I'm
trying.
I'm looking up Hulk Hogan.
Terry Bollea. Yeah,
I'm looking up his IMDb.
It actually came up.
Terry Bollea. But you know,
Thunder in Paradise. I was semi right.
Thunder Lips in Paradise.
Thunder Lips in Paradise.
Yeah, what's other media acting? Where is it? I want his filmography.
It was a loose. It was a spiritual sequel to Baywatch.
Yeah, Thunder in Paradise. Randolph. It's like
Everybody Wants Some is the spiritual sequel to Days of Confused. Thunder fucking Paradise is the spiritual sequel to Baywatch. This show stinks.
it was a show that happened before his cameo where he fights Ric Flair for the rights to the beach or something.
Okay. Seriously, that might be our Christmas watch along. That just that episode.
the episode
of fucking Baywatch. It is wonderful.
It is the best.
The Taskmaster and fucking Vader.
Can we do a double feature where Shawn Michaels, we do the Shawn Michaels one too?
Shawn Michaels one, which has become the best gif ever, where he's just putting the binoculars and sunglasses up of his eyes.
Yeah,
Shawn Michaels was playing Vincent. All right, brother.
Because he was, oh, that's the one. We got to watch, it was Assault on Devil's Island is the one I wanted to watch. One of the Hulk Hogan movies. Yeah, because he had a
the
bunch
fucked up thing is, I mean, we did No Holds Barred. It's in the archives.
Yeah, done Santa with muscles.
We did. Well, fuck, we did do Santa. I purged that. Suburban Commando, as a kid in 1991, wasn't terrible. Now it's probably horrific.
Yeah.
But it wasn't terrible back then. And then it was like it's like Mr. Nanny.
Yeah.
That was next in 93.
Three Ninjas, High Noon at Mega Mountain. He played Dave Dragon.
How, like, Hulk Hogan is the biggest star in professional wrestling. How did nobody, none of the Rocks type of people, grab him and say, hey, pal.
Yeah, I know.
You need to, like, do better shit.
Well, here's the thing. The Rock went through the exact same situation. I mean, the game plan and the Tooth Fairy.
I mean, the game plan he did meet his wife on. So, you know, I guess he's happy with that one. But the Tooth Fairy is
right.
But and then all of a sudden it was just like, all right, cool. I'm going to do this bodybuilder movie. Cool. I'm going to hit the juice. Oh, I got a franchise now.
Yeah, well, that was...
I'm literally a mountain of a human being.
Yeah, that's what happened is nothing happened to The Rock. I mean, nothing happened to Hogan like it happened with The Rock, because it was like, he did those two movies, and everybody was like, yeah, you're just basically making fun of the big, muscly guy doing, like, against type.
Was The Rock, like, slimmed down when he did those movies. Like, I remember seeing interviews where he's like, yeah, I have to, like, thin out and slim down to be more appealing to the major audiences and stuff. So while he's sitting there making fun of the muscly bound dudes, it's like he was smaller than he was when he was wrestling.
Right.
And then he just started kind of bulking up. He did the Sean William Scott one. Was it Rundown or Walk in the Jungle?
Yeah, the Rundown. Walk Hard, Walk Tall.
Walk Tall he did as well. That was Walk Tall, I think, was the first one.
Yeah, Walking Tall and the Rundown were his first two, and then he hit that wall with Tooth Fairy and Game Plan back to back. And then he took a huge, he did Get Shorty, or not Get Shorty,
the sequel, Be Cool.
The sequel, Be Cool. And then
he wasn't terrible in that. I'm gonna be, you know,
he was really fun in that.
He was funny in that as the gay bodyguard of Vince Vaughn.
Right. And then
Vince Vaughn was funny in it.
Yeah, but then The Rock drops off after Game Plan and Tooth Fairy, because I think that everybody's like, oh, he's not the box office draw he was going to be the one trick pony
that most people thought he was.
Right, and then I think it's Pain and Gain. I think he gets...
That was when I remember being like, because I remember the paparazzi photos, the TMZ photos, where it's all like, it's him and Mark Wahlberg walking down the street, and it's like, it looked like Mini-Me and Mountain Man.
Yeah, right.
I'm like, Jesus, he looks massive. And I don't mean like he looks like he's back in wrestling shape. I mean, he looked bigger.
Massive.
And he was bigger than he was in his peak in WWE. So and he's just gone in that direction ever since.
Right.
And this has nothing to do with Hocus Pocus, by the way.
No, nothing at all. This is unrelated. And as I sit here and actually am, like, I have Hocus Pocus on in the background. Hopefully John Cena doesn't fall into that trap, because I'm really scared with him.
His choices are fucking weird.
Yeah. I see
billboards all over town for this firefighter movie. It looks hot shit.
Yeah. I mean, it looks like a kid's movie.
It looks stupid as fuck. And he was good in Trainwreck. He was like one of the only good things about that Amy Schumer movie.
He was good in Trainwreck. He was good in that Sisters. He was great in Cock Blockers. He was so fucking funny in that movie. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, oh, this is going to be great.
He butt-chugged beer in that movie.
Right.
And convincingly was a father.
Right. And it's like, oh, this is going to be fun. Like, you're actually going to be really good in this, like, adult comedy role. Right. And then it's like, oh, no, I'm actually going to be the host of Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? You know, replacing the great Jeff Foxworthy. And then, yep. And I'm going to be Mr. Nickelodeon. And, you know, because now that show's on Nickelodeon. And then on top of that, he's now doing this kid's movie, and that's exactly who he's going to be. And it's like, man, you could be a bigger movie star.
I hope he's just, you know, making his money.
Yeah.
And he's got some stuff he's got some shit in his back pocket.
Right.
You know, because it's like, I don't know. I have not high hopes. I have hope for John Cena.
Well, because
not high hopes. Just hope.
He is that type of personable that The Rock is.
He is. He's a very personable person. And you know what I mean? Very funny. Naturally.
Bringing it back to Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan's a one-trick pony.
Do we have to?
Hulk Hogan's a one-trick pony, though. You know what I mean? Like, he is, for better or worse, he's, you know, say your prayers and take your vitamins, brother. You know, like, that's who Hulk Hogan is, no matter what. Whereas Dwayne The Rock Johnson and John Cena, I do think, are far more, have proven at least so far, that they're far more entertaining and versatile. And so hopefully,
Rock the Dwayne Johnson just announced that he has announced his new tequila, which I'm hoping to try soon.
Oh, of course. So, can we try and get The Rock on here to talk about the tequila and Scorpion King?
Scott and I have been doing a lot of live taste testings on Wicked Bites Radio, and I posted it on Facebook, and I'm like, the only way we're going to do a live taste test of The Rock's tequila is if The Rock brings a bottle in. He's married to a Linfield girl, which is right around the corner from our studio, so yeah. Bring it.
I would love it, Rock.
I
would love to do a drinking game to the Scorpion King with The Rock in his tequila. We'd die, but it'd be fun.
I'm all in.
Let's find his PR people.
I'll fucking die with you, brother. Come on, Dwayne.
What happened to Mike and Eddie? Well, they died with The Rock drinking
it's
tequila.
The Rock.
While watching the Scorpion King.
Two. Wow,
that's a hell of a way to go.
We died in the Dwayne's arms.
We became.
I'm all in. Let's do it.
We became stone cold rocks in the Rock's arms.
I'm all in. You know, if that's how I'm going to go out, that's not a bad fucking way to go out. In the Rock's muscly arms. What is this happening with Hocus Pocus?
El Dad. Your tequila was great.
Hell, Dad.
If I'm going to die in The Rock's arms, I'm definitely calling him El Dad.
Oh, my God. We did, by the way, go find Pain and Gain in our archives as well. It's a fantastic movie. It's weird as shit. He does great as a cokehead, muscly Christian.
Yeah, reformed Christian. Yeah,
I love that fucking when Wahlberg's doing the neighborhood watch thing, and The Rock is just all fucking coked up, and they're like, okay, and his girlfriend's playing like the victim, and yeah. Wahlberg's like, all right, so you're gonna be the rapist, and he's like, you fucking touch her, I'll kill you. And it's just like, it's a weird profile shot where he's just rocking back and forth, coked out of his mind, covered in green paint. Yes!
Oh, it's good.
This is the Dwayne I want.
Yeah. I can't wait for the crossover with all the Fast and the Furiouses.
All the different Rock characters converge in one movie and they make a super Rock. It's like Voltron.
It's actually just... It's just the people's champion.
We all come together and make one big super Rock.
We'll call it Everest.
Christ almighty. Anyway, Hocus Pocus.
Oh, yeah. That's right. This is what happens when we split episodes.
All I wanted to do was talk about the rapey bus driver.
we did the rapey bus driver.
This movie was not good, man.
Oh,
I'm sorry. It just wasn't. It just wasn't fucking good.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
it, it, Look, it Here's the thing. Okay, and I did some research. It was originally supposed to be a made for ABC Family movie, but it got, you know, Bette Midler attached to it, and, you know, Sarah Jessica Parker. And it, once the stars started getting attached to it, it was like, oh fuck, we actually have to make this thing into a movie, not just a hey, let's pump it out on fucking VHS and TV movie. We have to actually put it in theaters and put some money behind this thing.
Yeah, of course.
The intro of the classroom, again, it's like every part of this is like, yes, I get it. It was written for television, because the classroom scene that opens up after the 1690, whatever the fuck thing, where Zachary Binks, because fuck Thackeray, Zachary Binks has turned into a cat and that whole bullshit. And then we fast forward to 1993 and they're in the classroom and. I don't know. I've seen her in a million fucking movies. I don't know her name, but that the woman playing the teacher is explaining the story of the Sanderson sisters and fucking tie dye here because, you know, everyone from California is into tie dye, dude. And like, you know, woo. He's like, you're full of shit, which accurate. But then the whole fucking class just starts like, shitting on him until the girl, I don't know her name in this movie at the moment. But she kind of like she puts him in his place. What's her name? Let me see here. Allison. Ooh. Allison. Allison puts him in his place, and the crowd fucking the class erupts into like a round of applause. And I'm just like, what is going on here? Like, that's. Like even in Clueless, their class wasn't as absurd as this.
Yeah,
and then he basically pops out of his chair, announces to the class, "Hey everyone, I'm Max. Was it Max Orbison? No, that's the guy from Orgasmo.
Roy Orbison.
Max Dennison. I was fucking close. Max Orbison is Jizzmaster Zero in fucking Orgasmo. Max
Dennison. So much."
I don't want to say I care nothing, but unicorns are fucking hot.
I don't want to say I care nothing, but these guys sound like Depeche Mode. Fucking love Depeche Mode. So Max Dennison basically announces to the class, I'm going to give this chick my phone number, but doesn't. He writes 555 dash and nothing else. Yeah. Like a prick.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm sorry, even in movie world, that's not close to a phone number.
Yeah,
that's it's like I didn't get again. I didn't get that. I'm not a. I don't know. I don't get it. Well, do you know what the purpose of not putting the last four digits of your phone number was?
No idea.
Because she gave him the paper back like 10 minutes later when they had a conversation, and she was like, and she was kind of like warming up to him, and she's like, okay, and it handed him a piece of paper. He was thinking, okay, it's gonna be her number. Nice, gonna get that puss, and it's like his name and number, but not. Because it's just five. It's like, what the fuck is going on with these people in their phones?
Look, it's Salem. It's a very spooky place.
Fuck the 90s.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right, the point.
So we go back to the Dennison house. The place is completely unpacked. I mean, the place is completely packed. They haven't
Moved there like it's last all about week.
Boxes, except for his fucking room.
Oh,
his room. Looks 20 years lived in. Also, weirdly, the biggest fucking awesome cathedral staircase into a fucking widow's
house
watchtower fucking room for a 13-year-old virgin ever.
Yeah, right. You're 100%. So
then his sister, Thora Birch, shows her boobs in American Beauty, and then she jumps out of the fucking closet and jumps into bed, and they got a real weird close relationship. A bit too fucking close for these two, anyway.
Yeah,
I mean, between I'm thinking, them, you know, yeah, he's a virgin, but he might fuck his sister. I don't know.
Yeah, well, it's between them and Thackeray and his sister. They have, like, a weird parallel, like, pseudo-sexual relationship. It's kind of weird.
Is it Salem or Arkansas? I don't know.
Yeah.
Weird sister fuckers.
Yeah, it's weird.
We're all just fucked. Anyway, so she's fully dressed, ready for Halloween. Apparently, you know, trick or treat is happening. not Jizzmaster Zero has to take his little sister to trick or treat. And I don't know what he's dressed as. She keeps saying he's a little league player or a minor league player or a major league player.
Well,
but he looks like Tom Cruise's stand-in for Top Gun.
Yeah.
He's wearing a ball cap, a bomber jacket, and aviator shades like a prick at night.
Well, that's the thing, is that he doesn't want to take part in Halloween.
That's not how you do that.
Yeah, well, that's he doesn't want to be in a costume.
Dress up to not take part.
Yeah, well, he didn't dress up. That's the thing.
He actively put those fucking sunglasses on like a dick.
Yeah, because he is. That's the thing. Is they want you to not like him because he's not in the Halloween spirit. And he doesn't like his sister.
So how long does it take for the whole trick-or-treat interaction to happen in movies? Because I remember as a child, trick-or-treating, you'd go up to the door, ding-dong.
Oh, opens, this is this treat, is a weird.
They drop candy in, and you walk the fuck away. But he's had time to kind of post up on the stoop while they're all in the house.
Oh yeah, the weird thing is, and maybe
never
this is
enter a house. That was always rule number one as a kid. You don't go into the house, no matter how enticing the man's penis is. You don't go into the house.
Yeah, right. That was always rule number one. It was weird because that does feel like how this movie is like everybody in Salem is just like coming to my house and hang
Everyone's
out.
Everyone's just trying to fuck these kids.
Yeah, Salem. It's weird. It's a weird place. Weird. It's a weird place. Maybe.
So she comes out of the house after clearly getting hers, and the bullies are at the end of the walkway, taking their toll. They're getting their toll. Give me a toll. Everybody pays a toll. Like, these bullies suck dick. Like, I would both of them in their balls.
So, like, this was the thing that is just really frustrating from, like, a,
these you know, are the just, whitest bullies ever.
They really are. And it's just weird because I don't understand how dorky you are as bullies if you're, like, just go trick-or-treating. Like, just go trick-or-treat. Like, they're handing out free candy. It's not like... It's not like you have to pay for any of this.
Oh, no, I don't understand the whole bully concept. I'm pretty sure that Jizzmaster Zero lets them die at the end of the movie, so that's all right.
He definitely
does. He takes his shoes back. He does that.
Yeah. He definitely does.
But so we move on to the next house, which is the Eyes Wide Shut party.
Yeah, and it's the girl.
Allison and her family. And they're all weird. And then we sit there and Thora Birch talks to Allison about her tits while Max is standing next to Allison. And Thora Birch is like, yeah, Max loves your tits. I mean, I don't know exactly what she said. She said some kiddie word.
But yabos.
Yabos. Thank you, Eddie. Thank you. Yabos.
Yabos.
So Max loves your yabos, and your yabos look great. And they sit there talking about this teenager's tits for a really uncomfortable amount of time.
Yeah, right.
Until she's like, yeah, cool. Let me go get changed and come play with you guys. Not, hey, let me call the cops on this rapist and his weird little fucking sister talking about my tits.
Yeah, right. Get out of my house.
America.
Yeah, get out of my house. My parents are going to try and have me sleep with Jeffrey Epstein.
Seriously, there's a lot of weirdos in penguin masks that want to fuck me. I don't need your Max little dick.
Yeah, right, you 13-year-old brick.
13-year-old virgin.
Yeah, right. Again,
how dare you not lose your virginity by year 13, weirdo. Yeah.
Right, we're not gonna have a weird TV show called 13 and Pregnant that's gonna be a cautionary tale on MTV.
No, it's at least 3 more years.
Yeah, it's at least 3 more years. Oh God, I know.
We make our way to the Sanderson sisters' house, where Max spends the rest of the movie completely obsessed, like a 90s kid would, with his Zippo lighter.
Yeah,
he wouldn't stop fucking with it. He's like George Clooney in Out of Sight. He just won't stop playing with his Zippo, except when George Clooney did it, it was cool because he was an actual adult criminal. You're a
child
prick.
You're a child. Yeah. I do think it's weird that they're like, yeah, let's go break into the Sanderson sisters' house. And it's like, the weird thing about
let's light it on fire.
Well, they light it on fire because the Sanderson sisters show up.
True, but he starts playing with the lighter right away. It's the first thing he picks up when he walks through the door. He's like, oh, here's an old, dusty, cobwebbed display of Zippo lighters, because the 90s, they used to sell them in convenience stores, kids.
The funny part about that is that this convenient, like, the Sanderson sisters' house is now like a museum. Okay.
It's like a 7-Eleven.
Yeah. No, but it's like that part makes sense.
Okay.
Right. I got that. That, like, you know, I've been to Salem. They have those type of things. There's a witch museum there.
There are witch houses and witch museums. I get that shit. But this was closed down.
No, but so how long has this been closed that it is able to be run down to not have any, like, to have cobwebs everywhere, but also Zippos that are still there?
Okay. Zippos I will show my age, because I've bought Zippos in convenience store before. So, you need to buy lighter fluid to make them work.
Yes,
they don't just
send true.
They so don't the version, just snap to and work excessively. Watch Four Rooms. We did it in a review. It's in the archives. ThatMovieShow.net. That Zippo did not work on the first thing, and that guy thought it would, and he was an adult, and he got his finger chopped off. His pinky finger. Right.
This version of Hocus Pocus that I have on in the background while we do this is on Freeform right now, and it's like a pop-up video version.
I like that.
And the movie just ended, and the, you know, Thackeray
pop-up. We're sorry.
Thackeray Binks and his sister are walking away, and all of a sudden it just pops up, and it's like bing, and it just goes virgin counter. Virgin counter 9. So they were tallying virgins in that movie on Freeform.
This isn't like on FX. This is actually a Disney-owned family channel, and they're counting how many people have fucked a child in this movie.
Or not fucked a child.
I mean, if the counter goes down, somebody fucked a kid. Disney.
Yeah. Well, that sounded terrible.
I'm not watching it.
That's true.
Weird, dude. They blow up the house. They light the candle. Terrible CGI fire in this whole fucking scene.
Yeah.
Like the candle, the virgin candle thing, they fucked that all up with the CGI, because it was weirdly, like, transparent.
Yeah, well, because it was supposed to be the black flame candle, so it was supposed to be.
Is that what they were trying to do? It looked like bad, like, CGI. It looked like they had fucking fucked up the key coding, or you know what I'm trying to say.
Yes, I do. Yeah, that was the problem. The problem was that it was supposed to be black, and then it just was like weird CGI instead of getting something that would just burn black.
You know what would have worked better? Making the candle black and having the flame melt the candle into, like, a white candle that would have melted black.
Yeah,
that you could have done as a practical effect. You would have done a better job of conveying it. I would have been would not have been lost on the weird CGI flame. I would have seen the black.
Yeah.
Hocus Pocus 2. We are open to be hired here at that movie show. You Disney, please. You can call us, despite what we've already said about your terrible virgin tactics.
Right. I do think it's really funny that
besides all the kid fucking, we're on being hired with this.
It's really funny they do the whole they don't know what a road is, and they think it's like a dark black river, and they just toss Sarah Jessica Parker into it, and she's like, oh, it's a road.
They fuck with what they know and don't know way too much. So they don't know what a road is. But they do know what a learner's permit is.
Yeah, right.
They do know what a baked stuffed cod is.
Yeah.
That's like, she literally goes down the recipe of basically a fucking fisherman's platter.
Yeah, right.
Which
didn't
exist in 16, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, they ate fish with their hands. But they don't know what a bus is. It's weird. It's weird, but whatever.
It's
for kids. It's convenient. That, you know, nobody's going to notice it besides us, who are also noticing the virgin counter. Apparently it's on TV now, because that's enough.
Pop up video, baby.
Yeah.
So let's get to the big scene of the movie. Where Bette Midler sings
Gary Marshall shows up and tries to fuck Sarah Jessica Parker in front of his sister slash wife Penny Marshall, and then she fucking shows up and turns the lights on while she has her fucking curlers in her hair and they think she's Medusa. That whole weird ass fucking scene that meant nothing to the plot and just took up 20 minutes of nonsense because Happy Days.
Yeah, that works. Okay, that cool. Works. Moving on.
That
moving
happened. On. That moving was on. After the Rady Bus guy.
That was. That was, but it was really funny because
after the fake cop made fun of a 13-year-old for not having sex.
To be fair, that fake cop was probably hammered.
And fucking a very busty broad who jumped on the back of his bike.
Yeah. And yes.
Salem, bitches.
Salem, baby. Yeah. But Bette Midler singing the song is.
Oh, at the party?
At the party.
Where mom is dressed as whore Madonna.
Yeah, which is really funny because it's an adult party and then they see the mom as whore Madonna.
You know where they did this party better? Halloween 2, directed by Rob Zombie. It was a much better party. Basically the same fucking thing.
Yeah, of course, except...
Go watch it. The lead characters are dressed up as the Rock Horror Picture Show. Same fucking dude, lead singer with the weird Mr. Wolfenstein makeup and shit or whatever the fuck he did. Same party. Just, you know, more rape.
Okay,
but you know what? In this movie, who knows? Maybe the virgin counter went down by one at this swinging party. Mom was a whore.
Yeah, they danced until they died. That was the spell.
They really did. So the whole singing, like, was putting the townsfolk into a trance, right?
Right. So the whole thing was, is all the adults were, in theory, at, or at least the parents, all of the parents were at this school dance thing. Like,
made no sense.
Yeah, it was just an adult Halloween party. The idea is basically get all the adults, trap them so that they have... No, like the kids don't have adults that they can go to. So they're
none of this makes any sense.
Yeah, it's a kids movie.
I understand that, but all of these people would be at home waiting for their children to show back up safe.
Yes.
Not getting drunk and fucky at a fuck party.
Yeah, that's
Mr. Yes. Skeleton makeup and Madonna tits.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
But Disney.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Then
the funny thing is, we're the biggest Disney people ever. But I know. Can't get behind this fucking movie. It's just not Disney.
Oh yeah. I love
mixed messages in this movie.
I love the zombie.
Who does their bidding until he decides to call them cunts.
Yeah, he basically, he's an ex-lover.
Of who?
Of Bette Midler.
See, I'll take your word on it.
So, she
everybody else is fucking in this movie, might as well.
Yeah, Bette Midler was seeing that zombie, and then she got jealous because she thought that he was hooking up with Sarah Jessica Parker. So she poisoned him, sewed his lips shut, and buried him.
All right.
And so that's why his lips are sewn shut. And then when he's able to cut them open, he basically calls her, what was it, a buck-tooth bat?
I don't know, but Michael Douglas said that's how he got throat cancer. So, you know, cool. Anyway, yes, he basically slices his lips open and calls her a cunt and moves on with life, even though he did all of her bidding all the way up to it.
Yeah, right.
It's like he could have just been like, he could have come out of his grave, realized, oh, her, nah, I'm good.
Yeah, nah. Well, because that's what it felt like. Yes.
Like they literally said, go follow those kids. And he was like, yeah, all right, I guess so.
Yeah, I guess.
I guess so. Until I can find a fucking Swiss Army knife to cut my lips open, I guess.
Gotta cut my lips open, and then I'll
be like, hey, bitch.
Yeah, you're a bitch.
Going back in the ground.
Yeah, I don't like you. I don't like you at all.
What was his name? Billy?
Billy. Billy the zombie.
I remembered.
Billy the zombie, baby. Billy
the zombie.
Yeah. So, I mean, Christ. I guess... Is there anything left? I think we hit on everything.
There was the weird Sarah Jessica Parker's musical number
Oh, yeah. Well, that's how
zero she... fucking sense. That it took way too long and was like very masturbatory.
Yeah, well, that's she was
basically stroking her broomstick as she sang for a solid 7 minutes.
Yeah, that's how she lures the children. Her she's got a, like a siren song.
By jacking them off?
Yeah, of course. Of course.
Oh my god, this movie is so not Disney.
It's 90s Disney.
Including by naming your hero after Jizzmaster Zero.
Oh god, I love Jizzmaster Zero.
Max Orbison, bitch. We are so doing Orgasmo when we get a free moment.
Yeah, we definitely have to. I love that movie so much.
By the way, did you see that South Park finally sold streaming rights?
Yeah, to HBO.
Yeah, so if I have HBO Now, and if you already subscribe to HBO Now, you get HBO Max for free.
If does that count for Go?
No.
No, it has to be now.
There is a list. I posted it, I don't know, Twitter, Facebook, something like that. And there is a lot of people are going to get HBO Max for free. And there's a lot of different caveats as to how you get HBO Max for free. One of them is if you subscribe to HBO Now, which I do, but you have to subscribe through HBO, which I do.
So it's like,
I thought, okay, I have HBO Now. It's already $14.99. This is going to be $14.99, which is actually a lot less than I originally thought. Because when they first announced it, I thought it was going to be like $26, $24, something like that.
Well, we'll have to check because I have HBO. I have one of the HBOs, but it's through Amazon Prime. And
maybe. So, I don't. There's a few, but that's a hard maybe. But either way, I'm all in because I get all the South Parks now, which I've been kind of pissed off about because I have YouTube TV for my streaming TV service and they don't have Comedy Central. So now I get South Park. Huzzah.
Well, you could always go to southparkstudios.com.
It's so much work.
I've
tried. It's such a pain in the balls to watch a fucking episode. Honestly, the new ones I've just been watching on bootleg YouTube channels.
Yeah.
Because you know what, Viacom can't get their shit together and start streaming onto fucking reputable services. Anywho, that's fun for me.
Yeah, I think that's also hocus pocus. That's our third tangent. That's
really hocus pocus at this point.
Yeah, it's really. Our third tangent.
I mean, there's a lot of weird, sexual stuff happening in the 90s in Disney.
It's a really fun movie. One of the best things that kind of came out of this. Yeah. This is for that, my age demographic. I would say like, you know, somewhere around like 33 to 24.
I mean, I was about 13 when this came out, which made you what, 3?
Yes. And so, right. And so this really gets life, you know, some couple years later, right? If you think about it, you know, because it ends up getting on TV and stuff like that, and that's where we end up seeing it. So that's kind of what I'm thinking is like 35, between 25 and 35. You know, I think that this is where it kind of ingrains itself as a classic because under 25, you know, I think you're talking about Halloween Town with the great Debbie Reynolds.
Well, there is that.
You know, because that's how I look at, because the way that you look at Hocus Pocus is a lot of the way that I look at Halloween Town, which is a Disney original Halloween movie, like I said, starring Debbie Reynolds. And
Debbie Reynolds.
I love Debbie Reynolds.
We used to romp with Debbie in Vegas.
But that's, you know, like that's how I think that you look at Hocus Pocus is how I look at that. So, you know, it does feel like a little bit of a generational thing. Look, I think we can all agree that outside of the cameo from Tim Curry, the worst witch is terrible.
I just saw that YouTube video.
Was that the first
time? It's so shit.
It's
such shit. I was looking at like, oh my god, did Tim Curry license himself out to fucking karaoke videos? Yeah. What is this?
Watch The Worst Witch. It's garbage.
It's hot garbage. Speaking of hot garbage, coming up next week, Terminator Genesis, I believe.
Sure, I've never seen Genesis, so.
You've never seen it. Okay, so stay tuned because we got Terminator Genesis coming up next week because Terminator Dark Fate is in theaters, possibly a bonus episode since both of us are seeing it this weekend.
Yeah, we have to. We got to see it.
And then the following week, because Dr. Sleep hits theaters, The Shining, wait for it, the miniseries.
Yeah, we're doing the miniseries. The miniseries of The Shining. Starring
Anthony Michael Hall, not Jack Nicholson. Oh, strap the fucking.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us on That Movie Show, Mike Went, Eddie McCabe. Follow us on social media at Mike Went, at the Eddie McCabe. Hashtag That Movie Show. If you want us to review some shit, that's how you get in touch with us. Go to thatmovieshow.net for all of our archives. You can subscribe anywhere on podcasting apps. We are literally on all of them. We also put our radio show, which we do every Saturday morning, onto the podcast feed. So if you want that, it's an extra bonus half hour every single Saturday morning. So just subscribe to That Movie Show on your favorite podcasting app. Facebook.com/thatmovieshowtv. Eddie, anything else am I missing?
No, I'm going to go check out Jane Silent Bob this week. I'm pretty excited about that.
Silent Bob, the boot.
The reboot.
Oh, all right. And we will see you next week.
Bye, everybody.